Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy Juneteenth, John Hancock.
Right back at you, big boy.
It's a holiday. Nobody is on the roads today.
Nobody on the roads. Banks are closed. No mail delivery.
Yeah, in fact, you told me you were going to utilize a government service today until you realized it was going to be a holiday.
Yep. So that's off the table now.
How long has Juneteenth been a holiday now? Maybe 3 years,
something
four
like
years?
That. Yeah, Biden signed it nationally. It's been recognized in Missouri for about 20 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm learning something there. Big week in politics and, global news. Apparently, we've come to some type of settlement with Iran. No, it's a memorandum of understanding, John.
It's ridiculous is what it is. And we're giving them $300 billion.
Is this the Obama administration we're talking about?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
And
this is the Trump administration.
There's nothing in there that curtails their pursuit of nuclear weapons. You know, and we've got 60 days, I guess, to figure that out. On the Iran side, it's contingent upon Israel getting out of Lebanon. That's not going to happen. So, you know, America strategically is in a worse place today than we were before we started bombing Iran.
Is the buckling of the Trump coalition beginning? I saw Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham. A lot of the stalwarts of the head in the sand crowd for the Trump administration.
I heard Congressman Bob Onder on our sister station this morning, and he was poo-pooing the deal.
Really? Yeah. Now, I saw Eric Schmidt on social media, and he was out there selling it. He must have a golf game with the president this weekend. Yeah. But do you feel as though that finally we're starting to see some cracks in this blind loyalty to the administration who ran on one thing and is doing the exact opposite?
Most of it, though, is coming from defeated primary candidates who are in office that Trump defeated in the primary. So, you know, not exactly a profile in courage. They're not coming back to the Congress or to the Senate. So certainly those folks, I'm thinking about John Cornyn and Tom Tillis? Yeah, that's not coming back. Thomas Massie in the House. So a lot of the public Republican criticism of Trump is from folks of that ilk.
Does this go away? Let's say that things remain relatively peaceful. The price of gasoline will come down a bit, but the reality is that we're probably going to be dealing with $3 gasoline the rest of our lives until it goes up again. Does it get better for the Republicans, or is this slide to November look as dreadful as it looks
now? It could get better, but I'm not overly optimistic. And remember, the tariffs are still in effect, which are inflationary. So inflation is here.
Mm-hmm.
And if inflation continues, we were 4%+ last month. So, you know, if that continues, then it's going to be horrific for the GOP.
Well, the generic ballot looks really good for the Democrats. But the reality is, as we've talked about it extensively, and even our own state of Missouri has done some gerrymandering to, from a Republican standpoint, make it easier for them to hold on to the majority. You and I have been predicting for quite some time that the United States House is gone, even with everything that's happening around the country.
Without a doubt.
The Senate sure seems to be in play. Do you think any of this gerrymandering pays off for the administration?
I mean, I think the best case scenario for the GOP is that they, you know, have marginal gains. But the flip side and the fear of it is that they've drawn some districts that are now less Republican than they were. They had to take Republican seats, take Republican voters out of them, and put them into adjacent districts. They may have actually put more Republican seats in play and in jeopardy by doing this scheme than would have otherwise been the case.
Potentially the marquee Senate race in the country is going to take place in Texas, where the Lieutenant Governor James Paxton,
Attorney General.
Our Attorney General is running against
James Tallarico.
Mm-hmm. Democrats on my side of the aisle, you know, we went through the Beto O'Rourke excitement. It hasn't been since Ann Richards, I think, that a Democrats won statewide down in Texas.
And that was 30-some years ago.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance that this is what the Democrats have hoped for, that they can actually turn the state of Texas blue?
Well, you've got a very poor Republican nominee. I don't think John Cornyn would have lost that seat regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton could lose it. I still expect, you know, I mean, if past is prologue, I think the Republicans are going to win the seat, and I think Paxton's going to be the senator. But, I mean, there is a chance he could lose.
What do you say we take a breath and then come back and talk some Missouri politics?
Can't wait.
After this, right here on the Mighty Mighty Mox. 14-6 last night from Kansas City. Seems like
ugly.
A Chiefs versus Rams score more than a Royals versus Cardinals score.
Yeah, it was ugly last night. And, you know, and the Cardinals still put up 6 runs. I mean, we're hitting the ball. But Matthew Liberatore has had a rough go of it of late.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if he got a little of that Jordan Walker juice that wound up making him answer to the promises that many of us thought he had.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the issues that are going to be on the ballot here in Missouri in August. Two pretty substantive things, both Amendment 4 and Amendment 5. Amendment 4, John, has to do with reforming the way that initiative, petition, and an amendment process takes place in the state of Missouri. Many people, primarily the Republicans, still smarting over the fact that in the past we've raised the minimum wage, we've expanded Medicare expansion, we've legalized marijuana, we legalized gambling on our phones, and against what the legislature's tried to do, abortion as well.
Yep.
And now there's an effort by the Republicans to change the way that Missouri can amend the Constitution with Amendment 4.
Yeah, it's called initiative petition reform. So right now you go out and there's a threshold of signatures you have to collect in order to amend the state constitution. And then if you reach that threshold of signatures, it's placed on the ballot and the voters vote for it. And 50% plus one of the voters are effectively can amend the Constitution. So this particular reform would require any proposed amendment to get a majority of the vote in each of the 8 congressional districts in Missouri, which means if 7 of the 8 vote yes and 1 of the 8 votes no, then it's not in the Constitution.
Well, that's a killer, right?
Yes.
Because many times abortion, minimum wage, et cetera, they're passing primarily because of the votes that are coming from the urban areas where the people live. And this would allow, you know, one congressional district to torpedo something that could even get 65-66% of the vote statewide.
Yeah, in theory, for sure. And I support, you know, principally, I support that it ought to be harder to amend the Constitution than a simple majority. That's certainly the case for the U.S. Constitution. It's the case for a number of other states in terms of amending their constitutions. So I support the idea of raising the standard. I think this particular approach is an overreach, and I think the thing's going to fail.
There are some folks on my side of the aisle, John, left of center, liberals, who have used this process to pass stuff in the state of Missouri. You know, the legislature is just completely dominated by the Republican Party.
Right.
And as a result, they're not taking up these things that the majority of people, including Republicans, might want to see passed in the state of Missouri. There's some folks on my side of the aisle who say, hey, let's let them do this. Let's let them do this and let people live with the consequences of the extremists that they're electing. And that could ultimately wake people up to just from blindly voting for the Republican Party. I don't see it that way.
No, and I don't think this thing really is going to pass as the realtors and others are spending money to defeat it. I don't think there's any money on the pro Amendment 4 side.
Right.
So, you know, when that happens, the chances of it passing are pretty slim.
And the granddaddy of them all, of course, will be Amendment 5.
Yeah.
That's the one where there's money on both sides. There's billionaires pushing Amendment 5, which would do away with the state income tax.
Yep.
It would be graduated, et cetera, based mm-hmm. on state revenues, which, by the way, state revenues are going
down
the floor right now.
Yeah.
it will have funded opposition. You and I have debated it heavily. You support it. You argue that it would give a 5% raise to every Missourian. Everybody. I argue that it would raise taxes on everybody because you still have to make up that revenue. Here we are about a month and a half away from voting really kicking in. How do you see Amendment 5 shaking out? We're just now starting to see the dollars on television informing us about it.
Yeah, yeah. The proponents are up. I haven't seen any anti-spots yet. You know, I mean, just historically, whenever there's money expended on a no side of a proposition, it generally is effective. You know, whether it was the tobacco tax years ago, any time money is expended on the no side of a ballot question in Missouri, it usually fails.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this particular one is going to have more than sufficient money on the yes side to bring their message, and it's going to come down to whether people believe that they're going to come out ahead by having their income tax eliminated and paying more sales tax on things, including services. And I know that to be true. Because if you're getting a 5% pay increase and sales tax goes up 2%, you would have to spend your paycheck plus every pay period for you not to come out ahead on the thing. So, but I don't know that people actually believe that.
The proponents are out on social media saying, oh, Tennessee and Alaska and Florida and Texas, look at all this stuff that's happening for them. And well, that this is the reason we got to do it, and people are going to flood into the state of Missouri. They've been saying that for 20 years when they cut taxes. Isn't that argument a bit disingenuous?
Well, it will be more attractive to folks. Eliminating the income tax alone is not going to make Missouri more attractive to folks as long as we still have a crime perceptual problem. But I think it's a necessary precondition to invite growth and development into the state. And I think, you know, taxing income is, yeah, I don't, you know, let people earn.
One of the most constant voters in any election are voters over the age of 50, seniors. They're the big voters. You and I know they always show up. I don't see how a senior can support this in the sense that right now they get their Social Security check. They're not taxed on that.
Right.
And in fact, a senior who's living on a fixed income will see increased taxes as it relates to their sales tax, et cetera. Does that cause some peril for this Amendment 5 if seniors wake up and realize, wait a minute, I'm the one who's going to wind up paying for this?
Well, it's a primary election in a midterm cycle. So seniors are going to make up a disproportionate percentage of the turnout, without question. Yeah, and I think that's a potential problem. No question about it.
I understand you went to the Cardinal game this week and we won.
We did.
You were undefeated this season in games you went to.
I am.
You should be going to every game.
Well, let's get on that.
That's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Stick around. Chris and Amy coming in to join us next on the Mighty Mocs.